Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We appreciate it very much. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net if you want to, comments@afr.net. If you send us an email, remember we have feelings, and we don't like them hurt. So you need
speak
to
speak for yourself. I don't have much feelings, but
you don't. Well, all right then. If you want to let us have it,
your emails can be addressed to Wesley Wildman.
If you want to let us have it, you send it to Wesley because he doesn't have any feelings.
Let
evidently
me take that back. I have feelings for my family and
Wesley
friends.
Wesley deals with umpires every week, so that's right. He's lost his feelings for people. You have great respect for umpires. I'm just kidding.
And for our listeners, if you want to let me have one, go for it.
But go for it. But think twice.
That's right.
Okay. Think twice. All right. So Wesley's with me, raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and in studio with us now is Steve. I got fishes on my shirt, Jordahl.
I didn't know
you threw me for a loop there.
That would be an awful long.
Well, Steve Paisley Jordahl is your. Yeah, that's your name. Everybody knows your
name.
But you got a shirt with fish on it.
I don't have enough Paisley shirts to wear them every day, 365 days of the year.
Well, welcome.
Oh, it's first I've seen that one though.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Before we jump into Steve's stack of stuff there, let's wrap this up. We were talking before the break about this new way of charging people for shopping at Walmart by scanning and so forth. You were going to tell us.
There's a technology called Just Walk Out.
Okay.
It says check out free technology that uses computer vision and sensors fusion to track items and charge customers as they leave the store. So you're not even scanning anything. Now, from what I understand and what I'm reading, Amazon owns the technology. They have it in their stores, which I've never been to a brick-and-mortar Amazon store. I guess they do exist somewhere. Not in Mississippi, though. But this technology exists in their stores, and they're trying, as of 2024, they're trying to expand that technology in other retail stores, such as think of a Target or a Walmart. There is no scanning here. It's walk in, pick up the item, is walk out.
Right. But is this Costco you were talking about? What you were talking about before?
I'm pretty sure I read one story a year or so ago where Costco tried this technology in their store. I don't know if it worked or if they kept doing it or if they multiplied. But the technology is called Just Walk Out technology. Amazon owns it, and they're trying to get it in other stores.
Kroger. I used to shop for groceries at Kroger. I still do. But, I mean, used to, they had a scanner you could check out with. You scan an item as you put it in your cart. When you get up to the checkout counter, all you do is scan a barcode on the checkout counter.
That's similar
the
to what.
The whole bill comes up. You pay. You leave.
Yeah. There you go.
Y'all are scaring me. I don't even know if I want to go in stores anymore or not. I mean,
I don't know what's going to fall from the ceiling.
Yeah.
You got lasers from the cameras. Don't touch that.
So pretty soon I'm going to walk in with a $20 bill and they're going to go, "What is this?" I don't know where you think you're going to use that, sir.
For two reasons. One, that's not going to be enough. Number two, they're not going to know what that is.
But it's very convenient. With it is, you know, one of the things that happens is you get the precursor for the mark of the beast, you know. So there's always that.
I was just going to say that. Pretty soon they're going to say, "Look, give me your hand. We'll put something on your hand, on your forehead. We'll just scan you as you come in and out," right?
Yep.
In the words of George W. Bush right there, not gone debt. George H.W. Bush, I should say. He was the one. Remember that?
Right.
Dana Carvey, who impersonated him on Saturday Night Live, made that expression famous. Not gone debt. All right. All right, Steve, what? Hey, before we do that, sorry, Steve.
That's okay. I'm ready. Whenever.
From the world of sports, I gotta mention this because this was refreshing. I was told about this before we came in the studio. So, we all here are college football fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
To some degree or another. I know you're a pro guy.
Well, but I married into Alabama, so yeah.
Okay, so you have what's called in college football now. It's no longer amateur. It's pay to play, okay?
That's right. That's right.
In fact, Mississippi State, my school that I pull for, which I know will never win a national championship, and I've dealt with that 20 years ago, okay, in my soul. not even going to get a whiff. They did in 2014. That's all right. That's okay. There are other more important things in life, unless you live in Alabama, in which case they have their priorities all out of whack. I say that only because I'm having a chance.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
If I had a chance, my priorities would be like the fans in Alabama or Ohio State. However, what I wanted to say this. What's changed in the world of college athletics is something called NIL, mm-hmm. Name, Image, Likeness. This was a ruling by the court a few years ago, Supreme Court, I think. And I don't say that I disagree with it, but it's when you use a name, image, or likeness of a athlete to promote a product that athlete should be compensated for the use of his name, image, or likeness. I don't have a problem with that necessarily, okay? But what it's turned into is not name, image, likeness. It's just outright paying players.
That's right.
Okay, so,
sure.
And this happens all the time now. It's really discouraging as a fan of a school that struggles.
Then add to that the transfer portal.
Yes. Well, Mississippi State, for example, had a freshman quarterback start this year, and he did really well.
Program invested the whole season.
Yes, and this happens. I'm just using one example, but this happens all over America to a lot of schools. So the school recruited the kid, paid a scholarship, I guess gave him a little money or something like that. So he plays, and so you're looking forward to next year when he will be a sophomore with a year of experience, and you're going, man, this maybe could make our team better. Well, no. He has a great freshman year. What happens? LSU says, how much do you want?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll pay you whatever you want. Come down here and play for us. I don't blame LSU because that's the rules, and you can do it, okay?
Yeah.
So if they want to buy our quarterback – that's what happens. Uh-huh. Ohio State last year bought a running back from Ole Miss.
Yes.
Okay? To help them win the national championship. Judkins was his name.
And it worked.
And it worked.
That was a good investment.
At Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin recruited the kid.
Right.
Out of Alabama and invested in him for a year or two.
2 years. Gave him the starting role as a freshman.
He became like an All-American type. What does he do? He says, I'm leaving y'all because Ohio State's going to pay me more. Yes, I mean, It's gotten just crazy, ridiculous, but that's the way of the world. Now, which leads me to this point. I wanted to commend the University of Tennessee and their coach, Josh Heupel. I was just reading about this. He's their head football coach. Well, their quarterback, their star quarterback, who is coming back this year, I can't pronounce the quarterback's last name. His first
Nico
name
Nico something. Nico.
It's I-A-M. A L E A V A. Okay, so that's his name. He's a tall kid, 6'4", 6'5", very athletic, and is an excellent college quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this quarterback decided, I'm not going to go practice with my teammates for spring practice until they pay me more. And until I get my contract, that's what I call it. It's pro football by any other name, okay? So he said, Josh Heupel, the coach, who I'm sure loves this kid, it's his quarterback, said, so long, see ya. We're not doing that here. And I'm going like, wow, I'm stunned. Usually the coaches bow the knee to the player now.
Yes, sure.
Because he can help them win. Sure. And Josh Heupel said, we're not doing that here. You don't come to practice. You're getting a scholarship, and you're going to threaten us like this. I call it a threat. You're out of here.
Yep.
So what do you say, Steve?
I think the reason that you don't have as big of a problem with this in the NFL is because of contracts. They don't have the contracts in
college football.
So a college player can go as many times as he wants and, you know, year by year. But in the pros, you give them a contract. They got a 3-year, 4-year contract.
Right, that's true.
And they have to stay under contract.
Unless they're traded.
Unless they're traded. But, I mean, that's why you don't have the same problem of people dashing to the, Kansas City Chiefs. Sorry,
what,
Ray.
You know,
right. But it's true.
But what happened with the name, image, likeness, and it's all over college sports right now, is, which I say, if you're truly paying a athlete for the use of his picture or his name or his image, okay, that's one thing. I don't really have a problem with that necessarily, okay? Some people do. But it's not that anymore. As Nick Saban, the former coach of Alabama did, the legendary Nick Saban, he said this: it's not NIL. It's just paying players outright to play college sports. That's all it is. That's what it's become. And anyway, I don't like it, but I don't know what you do about it exactly.
That's the reason that he's a former coach.
Right. Yeah, he said he wasn't going to do that anymore. Of course, he was also in his 70s or 71, 72.
Has that former Tennessee player caught on? Has anybody else picked him
up? Well, it just happened like today or yesterday. I'm sure he probably will, but I don't. This is going to send a message to these kids. These young men and women. You're not going to sign a scholarship with our school and then not show up for practice because you're going to demand more money. But that's going to, I think this kind of thing will stop that if all the coaches stick together. If they stick together. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Steve, what do you got?
I just a little note here as we get started. You remember yesterday President Trump was in the Oval Office with Nayib Bukele from El Salvador, right? Well, that has turned into quite the relationship. They now have nicknames for each other. Weird, but they do. So
who's got a nickname for who now?
The presidents have nicknames for each other.
The presidents have nicknames for each other. Trump tweeted out something about President B, and so Bukele tweeted out, "I already miss you, President T."
This is making me uncomfortable.
Oh no.
They need to keep their bromance to themselves.
That's right. Please.
Come on, man.
Twitter's anything but private, isn't it?
Yeah. TMI.
Oh, man. President B, President T.
Yeah.
Somebody call Mr. T.
Pity the fool.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Wesley, hold on a second. Wesley, do you have any idea what he's saying? Mm-mm. What Steve's saying?
I said, bro.
He says, when Steve says,
"Pity the fool,"
you know what he's talking about?
Oh no, not a clue.
That's sad.
I was awkwardly silent and allowed y'all to finish y'all's bromance.
Right. Anyway,
I'm guessing it was something from the 60s.
Well, you can move up to the 80s.
70s.
One of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Right. The A-Team.
Now, I am familiar with the A-Team, the modern version.
Do you know who Mr. T is? I
probably would recognize
him. Yeah, look, just Google.
See if Mr. T.
Okay. A-Team.
If people are wondering, we're trying to help people.
Yeah.
We're trying to help Wesley.
We're just here to help.
This is the one I'm familiar with right there.
The A-Team. Yeah. That's the A-Team.
That's the modern A-Team.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's based on that, but they had an original A-Team.
Okay, so which one's going to be?
Mr. T?
Know which one's Mr. T in there?
I don't know.
Mr. T is Mr. T.
That's Mr. T.
There cannot be a replacement.
Look, there's Mr. T.
That's the old Mr. T.
He boxed Rocky in one of the Rocky movies.
That's the modern Mr. T. Okay.
Do they call him Mr. T?
Yeah, it's the same name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
We didn't know.
See, we didn't know that, and you didn't know there was the original.
Does the original Mr. T have a name other than Mr. T? I suppose he wasn't born Mr. T, but.
I don't know. I think we've used up our quota of saying Mr. T for the year already.
And
all right, next story, Steve.
All right. Tim, you brought an interesting story to us this morning about non-governmental organizations and how we kind of have this perception, it's out there, that these are
NGOs.
They're kind groups that do good service.
Charitable work.
You got all these Catholic charities,
right.
All this kind of stuff. It turns out after DOGE is taking a look at specifically USAID. What happens, what these guys are, these non-governmental organizations are, as this article says in the New York Post, anything but non-governmental. They get the money from the government, and they do the will of the political
of the Democrat
class,
Party.
Of the Democrat Party, things that they wouldn't be able to get passed if it was the government doing it. For example, a lot of these NGOs, there's several of them that were very instrumental in facilitating the influx of immigrants and illegal immigrants into this country. United States would fund these things, these groups. They would go down, they would pay for food and lodging for these migrants. Remember the big migrant convoy trains or whatever they were?
Crowds.
Yeah. And they'd get them over the border. They would make sure that they provide them with some stuff here. So basically the government was using these NGOs to keep the border open. And it's just one example of how they're called. And this article by Glenn Reynolds says he calls them a parallel government.
Yeah. Just to dumb it down even more for our folks here, NGO, which means non-governmental
organization.
They would be what you would consider, what most Americans would consider, if they saw the names of these groups, like Catholic Charities, for example, you would think, well, these are do-gooders, okay? These are charitable organizations that maybe just help the poor and the downtrodden or whatever, build things in third world countries and all this stuff. The problem is, that's fine. Raise your own money, okay? Mm-hmm. Raise your own money, because what was happening is, before Elon Musk and DOGE exposed these things, is now some people were aware of what's going on here, but the Democrats include in such things as an omnibus bill. These massive bills that, you know, billions and billions of dollars are spent. Well, nobody really, all the congressmen and senators, the Democrats stick these NGOs in there for funding so that U.S. taxpayer dollars go to these organizations. Well, these organizations, in the case of illegal immigration, they were fostering and helping bring in immigrants into our country illegally using donations, not donations, using money from the federal treasury that the Democrats had voted to give them. And that's how this works. So Elon Musk and has making this a high-profile issue, and so hopefully something can be. Well, I think it will be. It will. President Trump and others are going to do something about it, right?
Well, they're not going to fund these same NGOs. First of all, they're a Republican administration, so they don't have the same goals as the Democrat and these NGOs. So these NGOs still have the Democrat mindset. They're still going to try to do what they can. But
What happens is much of the left in this country is funded by tax dollars,
yeah,
while we on the conservative side have to raise our own money,
yeah,
from grandma out there on Social Security, mm-hmm, and we're trying to appeal to her to help fund this ministry. And God has always provided for us and others, but that's not fair,
yes,
when these groups, I guarantee if the Catholic Charities were doing straight up Catholic theological issues, they wouldn't be funded by the Democrats. If they were pro-life, for example, you wouldn't find a pro-life Catholic group funded by the government. The Democrats would object to that. But as long as they got this liberal side of Catholicism, which is promoting illegal immigration into our country, then they're fine with funding that, mm-hmm, with the federal tax dollars.
This is the paragraph that kind of sums up what this is, again, from the New York Post article. This was U.S. taxpayer money laundered through, quote, independent organizations that serve to promote goals contrary to U.S. law, but consistent with the policy preferences of the Biden administration.
Yes, yes. Now, there was one example put in there of you want a swamp story?
Yeah.
You got it right
I
there?
Do.
Okay. This is related to what we're talking about here.
Oh, you're talking about Rhode Island Senate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yep. Rhode Island has a senator named Sheldon Whitehouse. He's been in Congress for quite a while.
Democrat.
Democrat. And he was one of the senators that voted to award $14.2 million to an NGO called Ocean Conservancy. $14 million since 2008. Now, Wesley, what would you think Ocean Conservancy would do?
You said ocean?
Ocean Conservancy.
I'd do something with the ocean as it relates to cleaning it up. I'm just totally guessing. I'm just shooting. Yeah.
Well, whatever they were doing, they turned around and paid Sheldon Whitehouse's wife, her name is Sandra Whitehouse, and her firm $2.7 million just to consult.
To consult it?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, the money's not going to the end product. In fact, a lot of these NGOs, a lot of these organizations, less than 10% of the money that is given to them by regular people go to the purpose of that they're supposed to do.
Yeah. So just to be clear here, what you have here, you have a Democrat U.S. senator from Rhode Island. Name is what?
Sheldon Whitehouse.
Okay, follow the money here. Sheldon Whitehouse. Oh. Is that his real name, Whitehouse?
Yep.
Okay, so he votes to give.
So he's responsible for allocating.
That's
money.
Right. That's
is that right.
Right. That's right. So he votes to give our tax dollar money, $14 million of it, to this group. Steve mentioned Oceanic, whatever they call. What do they call? Steve?
Ocean Conservancy.
Now nobody knows what they do, but.
They conserve oceans.
They conserve the ocean. They're a liberal group.
Sure.
Trust me on this.
Yeah.
They're a lefty group. This probably end of the world, global warming group.
Yeah. That,
they're that kind of group. So this Democrat U.S. senator votes to give them $14 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So this group that gets the $14 million, they say this senator's wife works for a company. What does they do?
They consult.
They consult. Yeah. His wife works for a consulting company, which this Ocean who got $14 million, they give $3 million almost this consulting group, which the wife of the senator, she works for them.
She's in charge of it. Yeah.
She's in charge of it. So,
you so wonder
that is the epitome of swamp.
Yes,
right there.
You wonder how someone that is living on $200,000 a year, after 10 years, has multiple luxury homes spread across the country.
That's unethical, if not illegal. I think you've got, or at least you've got to provide some kind of where you show that people submitted their bids for
that's
the work
right. At minimum.
But anyway, so Senator Whitehouse votes for $14 million of tax dollar money to go to this group that his wife's in charge of. They get $3 million, and I don't know how much of that goes back into the White House family coffers.
Well, I would probably say a good
portion. Some of it does.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Okay, we're gonna.
That was quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
Tomorrow.
Appreciate you bringing that story.
We need to learn how to do this kind of thing.
That's right. Join them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They just vote themselves money by putting their wife. Their wife's in charge of the group that they give the tax dollars to.
American Family Association.
All right.
NGO.
I don't think. Yeah. No. All right. Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, Wesley Wildman. Ray, I forgot all about you, brother. Sorry about
Glad
that.
Glad to be here, Tim. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, appreciate your attitude right there. And let's see, Chris Woodward was on the show, too. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.